Now we're looking for clarity in the GameStop story and what the short squeeze phenomenon says about the stock market and Wall Street. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, what questions do you have about stock prices or day trading? Have you followed GameStop's sky-high short interest and then its plummet? What do you wonder about the long and short of it? 800-642-1234. Keith Ponywaz is Director of International Advisory Services and a financial advisor with Wafner Condon Financial Advisors in Madison. Keith, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, explain for us, so we're all on the same page, what a short squeeze is. How would you describe it to us?
Well, I think, you know, in order to understand a short squeeze, you probably first should know and make sure that everybody knows what a shorting of a stock is. And shorting a stock is basically a bet that the security is going to go down in price. And the way you do that is, and let's take GameStop as an example. I'm not endorsing any of this behavior or anything like that. But in the case of GameStop, say you own, Kate, a share of GameStop, and I want to bet that it's going to go down. And so what I do is borrow that share from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I sell it right away. So when GameStop all started, it was trading at about, you know, $20 a share. And so my bet is I'm going to be able to go in, buy that share back at $5 a share, let's say, and make $15 on that share. Well, what happened was, you know, on Reddit, lots of people noticed that there was lots and lots of short interest in that, which meant lots of people were doing what I was doing. And so what that led to is people deciding to go long or buy that stock. Well, in a lot of cases, when I'm borrowing a stock, I may only have, let's in the example we're giving, $100 in my bank account, and I know I need to buy back that share. Well, as the prices rise when, you know, more people are buying it just to buy it, I start looking at my bank account, and I go, oh, boy, it's $80 a share now, $90 a share. And so I'm starting to feel that squeeze, and I feel the need to buy it as well, and that levers, you know, adds to the demand for buying that share, that further increases the price. And that's where you get the short squeeze, which is people trying to buy back shares that they've borrowed and then sold. And so, it's really a fundamental supply and demand thing, right? The supply of stock stays the same, but more of us who have, you know, borrowed that stock and need to buy it back are now racing back into the market to cover it. And, you know, one of the big problems is these various hedge funds that had shorted the stock, they may not have the funds on hand to cover their shorts, and so that's why they're racing in. And so you have, you know, that accelerates it. And you'll see this phenomenon, you know, in various times throughout the market, particularly around the earnings season.
What do you make of these investors on Reddit, though, banding together to send GameStop stock price soaring? And as a result, these hedge funds who bet against the stock, as you say, you know, they're facing major losses. Is this the start of a revolution on Wall Street? Or is this, you know, is it a bubble that is bound to burst?
Well, you know, first of all, we have to, you know, take into context the number of shares that are being traded and its relevance to the overall market. You know, one thing, when GameStop was having its biggest days last week, the overall market was actually down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday, when or Thursday or Friday of last week, you know, the inverse was the case. So I think it's dangerous to read out further trends from this because, you know, GameStop is a small part, and we see, not to this extent, but we see short squeezes like this, you know, all of the time. They may not, you know, lead to a stock going up 500%, but part of it is what's unique about these various companies is, in a lot of cases, they are not what we'd call, you know, they're very easy to move because they generally have low trading volume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bigger stocks tend to have higher trading volume, and that makes it harder for them to move.
Let's bring in a call now. Ethan is with us from Madison. Hi, Ethan. What would you like to ask?
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to know what the guest had to say about all of these smaller brokerage platforms limiting the trading on stock and therefore manipulating the value because, you know, people can't buy, can't increase the demand. and still to this day, they're still fairly limited. And I just want to know how that isn't market manipulation. I know Robinhood says that's their clearinghouse and other reasons why they had to do that. But we see, like you said, short squeezes like this happening all the time with high volume. So that seems kind of fishy to me.
Ethan, thanks. Yeah, Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of issues in play, and you know, there are a variety of reasons why this freaked out Wall Street, you know, these brokerage houses. And, you know, in one case, what Robinhood and other traders have said is basically their clearinghouses, the people that match up the buyers and sellers, were worried about being stuck on the hook with shares that may not have buyers on the other side ultimately. And part of that was due to the fact that one of the ways that you can further maximize your profits if you're doing this sort of trading is by buying options.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of January, which we saw, it was a big options expiry date. And what a lot of people who were using Robinhood, for instance, didn't realize is that on February 29th, that Robinhood automatically executed their options, which meant an option is essentially I buy for a little bit of money, the option to buy the stock in the future at a defined value. So with GameStop, when it was trading at 20, I might buy an option to buy it at 80. And when it was up at 400, you know, that's an option that would then be worth, you know, $320 that I may have paid a dollar or two. And what Robinhood was doing was they had in their contract that in the money, that is profitable options, they would automatically fulfill and put into your account. Well, what happened and they were worried about is that many of these small traders may not have been able to buy. Most options work in about 100, quantities of 100 shares of GameStop for, you know, even $100 a share in order to then resell them and make the profit. So that was one concern, and that was the concern of their clearinghouses. So I think there's going to be more investigation, but, you know, we should be careful to immediately ascribe, you know, the worst motives to the various, you know, brokerages, especially the smaller ones, because, you know, Robinhood, I think, all of a sudden found themselves a little bit like the dog that catches the car. They became, you know, very, very popular all of a sudden, and they may not have had the resources and capital to be able to handle all the volume that they saw.
We're talking with Keith Ponywaz, who is Director of International Advisory Services, a financial advisor with Wachner Condon Financial Advisors. You can join in. What did you see out of the GameStop story? What do you want to understand about how trading works? 800-642-1234 to join in. Tom is with us from Burlington with a question. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
It seems like it's getting like the tulip thing. They were buying tulips in Holland 200 years ago and went crazy for these tulip seeds. But anyway, what I wanted to ask was the years ago in 1938, they put in the rule that you couldn't sell short. You could only sell short on an uptick. And so this was to stabilize the market and keep people from being able to drive the market down. Then they took that rule off, I think in 1978 or something or other, and then they put it back, and they've done this. So I wonder, could you address yourself to that, this thing about the uptick rule that, in my opinion, they should have the uptick rule back there because you can drive that price down. It just keeps going down and down and down, and that's it.
Hmm. Yeah, Tom, thanks.
Well, and I think Tom addresses one of the bigger things is that people who short are commonly viewed as sort of the villains of Wall Street. Right, that they can just drive prices down and down and down. And the uptick rule is one of the ways to moderate that. And then the other thing that a lot of people worry about is what's called high-frequency trading, which is trading that can take information that's out there and move on trades that consumers might be making a little bit faster than consumer and take a little bit of that. I think there's some, you know, validity to thinking about that longer term. And, you know, I also think that, you know, looking at ways to make markets fairer for consumers is ultimately a good thing. But I will say, you know, in terms overall of the efficiency of the market, you know, I'm Tom, you know, going back to 1938 is probably old enough to remember when, you know, stock prices were listed in the newspaper on eighths, right?
Yeah.
Of a dollar. And so that gap between, you know, the eighths often went to the brokerage firms, and now we're able to price stocks, you know, almost down to the penny. And that efficiency has been passed on to retail investors as well. So I think, you know, we want to make sure we want to continue to improve the efficiency of the markets, but, you know, and it's continuing the way it's been going.
Let's bring in Tom in Madison. Tom, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. First, I guess I should state that I would really like to see the whole concept of short selling made illegal, but that's just a side remark. My question deals with liability. My son participates in the Robin Hood model. I don't fully understand it, but he claims to be proficient at it. He's 27. I know he's made money and lost money, but I'm a co-signer on his savings account at the UW Credit Union. What if he loses, $300,000 on some trade? What's my liability?
Tom, thank you. Keith?
Well, Tom, unfortunately, that would be a question for a lawyer. It's not something I can necessarily answer in this situation because, you know, there are more details and so on and so forth. But I think, you know, Tom raises one of the good points as well about short selling and something that people should be careful of. It is a way that you can, and all of this sort of day trading, people can lose a lot of money in it. And, you know, if people are interested in these short time things, they should not be gambling their, house money or anything like that. You know, at most, things like GameStop, from my perspective, you know, they move a lot in as randomly, especially over the short term, as, you know, any sort of gambling. Over the long term, you know, the stock market relies on facts and figures.
Do your homework, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Keith, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Keith Ponywaz, Director of International Advisory Services and a financial advisor with Wachner Condon Financial Advisors. Just ahead, an investigative reporter from the New York Times breaks down pandemic-related medical billing. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.